Can anybody read what's up on the board? What does it say? How do you know that? How do you know that? You're assuming that, aren't you? How many of you know Arabic? That's what I thought. Not one of you. Okay? First of all, here, let me get a couple of guys to pass these things out. Everybody will have an outline. We'd like for you to miss the blanks. But you're absolutely right. That is what that translates into, okay? The five pillars of Islam, and that's what is our topic tonight. Let me change it just a little bit, and now you see it in a little bit different form, okay? The five pillars of Islam, and there are the titles to all of them. Notice the very first pillar, that center column, okay? It says the Shahada. Okay, folks, that is the main pillar, okay? And from that pillar, all the others follow. But the Shahada is the main pillar. And we'll come back and we'll be talking about each one of those pillars and what they mean and what they represent tonight, okay? All right, everybody geared up? Anybody? All right, I love that. Love that. All right, notice this first point. The five pillars of Islam, folks, are the foundation. Okay? They are the foundation of Muslim life. If you are going to be a faithful Muslim, you must practice the five pillars. Okay? No ifs, ands, or buts. Now, question. Are there certain things that we say we need to do in order to be considered, quote, faithful to God? What are some of those things? Okay, attend the worship services. Okay, that's a big broad one, okay? A big broad one. What's another one? Grow. That's still kind of broad, isn't it? Because all these things that we would do what? Give. Okay, that would be fall under worship a lot of times, wouldn't it? How about study your Bible? Would that work? How about pray? Would that be part of it? Okay. We have requirements of us, but no one has ever come along in Christianity and said, okay, here are the five main things that you have to do to be considered faithful, have they? That's why you're giving me all these answers. Okay, because had we have five pillars of Christianity, you'd have just pop them five pillars off, wouldn't you? Just like they do. They can tell you the five pillars, folks. They know the five pillars of their faith. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And they are foundational. Folks, they say this. Notice that next point. Each pillar is a gateway into deeper understanding and greater spirituality and growth in the faith. Okay? If you'll do these five things, you'll grow deeper and deeper deeper in your knowledge and practice of Islam. Okay? So very, very important. They are referred to as the five pillars of Islam. They are referred to as the five pillars of religion. Okay? The five pillars of religion. They are not the same as the five pillars of faith. Okay? Those are totally different. Okay? So you get kind of confused in this stuff, right? Because you say the five pillars of religion, the five pillars of Islam, and then the five pillars of faith, and they all sound like the same thing, right? And they aren't. Just keep five pillars of faith out there by itself, okay? They're totally different. And we've made mention of those in another lesson, but we're not going to be coming back to them in our lessons, okay? So you'll have to go back and look at some of those in another lesson. Before we jump into the five pillars, let me mention this next section very briefly, and we'll talk about it under a next section, but not nearly in as much detail. Before a Muslim can engage in some of these practices, he has to first purify himself. Okay? He has to purify himself. And there are sections of the Quran that talk about purification. And there are large sections of another authoritative source called the Hadiths. And we'll get into those next week. Okay, the Hadiths. when we study the Quran. And they talk about this purification process. And there's two different types of purification, okay? First, you have what is known as the minor ritual cleansing, the wudu. Okay, the wudu. And this is the usual cleansing process that they would go through. Okay, maybe they're about to enter into a prayer and they're not going to go through major cleansing processes five times a day. Okay, they'll just go through the very brief, the very minor cleansing that makes them acceptable to Allah. Okay, and we're going to talk about that when we get to the prayers. Notice the next one, okay? The ghusl, the ritual bath. This is where it is a major cleansing of the entire body. Okay, so they don't do that one nearly as often. Question, when you and I go before God, whether in worship or whether in prayer, we are to be cleansed. I got some saying, oh, and I got a guy up here saying, spiritually, yes. Is that true? No. We don't have to be spiritually pure to approach God. What cleanses us, though? The blood of Jesus, right? One of the first things I do when I go to God in prayer, at the outset of my prayer, is I ask Him to forgive me, to cleanse me of my sins. Because sin can keep me from who? Between me and my God. They can paralyze my prayers, can't they? And so I want to be forgiven of those. And the way to do that is ask God to forgive you through the blood of Jesus. Folks, this cleansing has nothing to do with spiritual cleansing on the inside. They're talking about cleansing on the outside. And we'll get into a little bit of that when we get into prayers. Any questions or anything about that so far? I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about the cleansing. We could, but we're not going to. Questions, comments? None? All right. You're about to enter into the five pillars. Any of you start practicing these five pillars, you will be a true, faithful Muslim. Okay? Just be aware of that. Now, I told college my faithful Muslims at the first, but that was all a joke. Okay? But these are the things that really make you faithful Muslim. The first one, the Shahada. We've talked about that, haven't we? In our study of Allah. Folks, this is the confession of faith. Okay? This is their pronouncement of who they are and what they follow. Okay? Here's what they say. I testify that there is no God but Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the prophet or messenger of God. Okay, now here's something that's interesting. Okay, I've got it in Arabic, in case you know. Some of you said you knew what those words meant at the first, so I figured y'all need to say it in Arabic and not in English when you get home. But there it is in Arabic when you get home. That's pretty tough. I think I could say it easier the other way. Here's the thing, folks. Did I just say the confession? I did. Okay. Why aren't I a Muslim? Yeah. If a person, however, intentionally, with meaning, believes this confession and says it, the minute he says it, guess what he becomes? A Muslim. Just like that. Okay, this is the confession of faith for the Muslim. All right? So be aware of that. The Shahada is one of the methods whereby these individuals bear witness of their submission to Allah. Okay? And when you hear a Muslim, guess what they always say? And if you're really listening to Muslims very much and they're faithful and they get around a bunch of non-believers, guess what they'll say? They'll say the confession. Okay? And the reason they do that, that's because that's their witness to us as non-believers. Okay? And that is what they try to get individuals to believe themselves. And folks, just think, the more people you hear say that, right? Does that tempt individuals to follow along? Some people it does, right? They want to be a part of a majority, don't they? And the more they say it, the more they, oh man, I'm missing out on something. All these people are believing in this testimony. And then all of a sudden, they want to jump in hook, line, and sinker, don't they? Okay? Here's the deal. Okay. What's the question? He says, does this erase the unforgivable sin? Okay, that's a good question. Remember we talked about the unforgivable sin? Does anybody remember what it is? Since you raised the question, tell us what the unforgivable sin is. Okay, if you associate any other being on the same equality with God, it's known as the doctrine of association, remember, then you have committed what they refer to as the unforgivable sin. Okay? We have God the Father and we have God the Son, don't we? We say the two are equals. We also say there's God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Oh, we have committed the sin of association, according to the Muslims. Unforgivable. And so he asks, if a person makes this confession, does that forgive the unforgivable sin? Here's what's interesting. If you really get down to the brass tacks of the Muslim faith, any sin you commit is unforgivable. Okay? Folks, they're not worried about the forgiveness of sins. There's nothing in the Muslim faith that forgives sin. Okay? Nothing there. Remember we talked about judgment for the Muslim? What is judgment for the Muslim? You get up before Allah, right? And He has this huge balance scale, right? On the one side, you put all your good deeds. On the other side, you put all your bad deeds. And what do you hope happens when the scale falls? The good outweighs the bad. And if it does, you get to go to paradise. If it doesn't, there is punishment for you. So they don't ever really talk about the forgiveness of sins. Even though they make and see, it's weird, isn't it? Because they make all these claims about all this stuff and they say all these things. And then when you find out some things, it just kind of makes you scratch your head just a little bit, you know? And so good question, though. But no, it doesn't. To answer your question, no. Okay? It does not forgive the unforgivable sin. All right? Notice point D. Point D. The significance of this declaration is the belief that the only purpose of life is to serve and obey God and is achieved through what? The teachings and practices of Muhammad. Folks, everything they do revolves around who? Allah. Okay? But the only way to do that is through the teachings of Muhammad and his life. Okay? And next week we'll talk more about those and life things. Okay? We know what the teachings are, right? The teachings are in the Quran. Okay? What is and his life? Well, that's where we'll get into those other authoritative documents and where they came from. Okay? Questions or comments about this one? Yes, sir?
About this one?
Yeah, about this one. I'm not anywhere else. No, I'm kidding. I'm just messing with you. I love to see looks on people's face. Okay? You have to understand me, okay? I love reactions. When we get there, see, I don't know why in the world you're reading ahead of me. Oh, we'll get to it. We'll get to it, okay? Well, I'll just answer it, okay? Water or sand? If you don't have water, you can use what? Sand. There's no efficacy in the water, okay? All they're trying to do is present what? A clean person to Allah. Okay, and so you clean to the best of your ability. Okay, if you have water, guess what? Use water. But if you don't have water, And it's interesting that they put this, isn't it? If you don't have water, where did Muhammad grow up? Arabian desert. Guess what ain't there? Water. Okay? Just hard to clean out there, guys. So guess what he authorized? The use of sand. Guess what they did oftentimes? Guess what was just their common practice? Use sand. We don't have water. We use sand to clean our hands off. Okay? And get the muck and whatever's there on our hands to the best of our ability. That's what we use. Okay? And it really has no efficacy other than it enables you to say, yes, I've cleansed myself and I'm ready to go before Allah. Okay? So nothing really huge there. All right? Man, when I skip something, you're supposed to skip that. I'm just kidding with you. All right, let's go to the second one, okay? The second one. And folks, this next one is probably the one that's going to affect us more than anyone immediately. Okay? And it's known as the Salat. These are the ritual daily prayers of the Muslims, the Salat. So you have the Shahada, the confession. Now we have the Salat, and that is the daily prayers. Okay? How many prayers are they supposed to pray? Five. Yes, five prayers. Does anybody remember where those five prayers come from? Where they got that? No, I didn't do a very good job. No. Yes. Yes. He's coming back to him. Okay, folks, it happened. Chris? Yes. Remember when he first went to Allah, Allah told him, I want you to pray 50 times a day. Well, he leaves and he goes back down. And who does he see? Moses. And he says, what did Allah tell you? He said, he told us to pray 50 times a day. And Moses fell on the floor, gets up, and he says, that's too many. He says, you need to go back and you need to get that number reduced. And through a lot of conversation, through a lot of bargaining, he reduced it to five. Okay? And these are the five prayers that are musts for the Muslims. Okay? Now, I told you we were going to come back to these cleansings, okay? And we're going to touch on that. Look at point two real quickly. The Muslim is constantly reminded to put Allah before every concern. Okay? Folks, is five times a day a lot? Five times a day rolls around. When you do what they do in the rituals of their prayers, five times a day rolls around quite often. Okay? And we'll talk about the times in just a minute. Okay? But remember, before you go, you gotta what? Purify yourself. Right? Here's what the surah says. What is the surah? A chapter in the Quran. I went to the internet. I typed in Surah 5-6. It pulled me up a Quran. And I just copied the translation. And that's what you have right here. Okay? So it came directly from the Quran. At least the one on the internet. And ye who believe, when ye prepare for prayer, wash your faces and your hands and arms to the elbow. Rub your heads with water and wash your feet to the ankles. Up in New York, you have many cab drivers who are Muslims. And guess what they have to do? They have to pray. And they have to pray at set times. Okay? And guys, they have gone in certain places and they have put water spigots in. So when these individuals get to these particular points, they will have a place to go through their ritual washing because they cannot pray until they what? Until they cleanse themselves. What would be really interesting, and I'm being facetious, but what would be really interesting is don't put in water spigots. Put in troughs of sand. I'm just being mean now, aren't I? That's terrible. Because look at the next statement. If you are in a state of ceremonial impurity, bathe your whole body. There's the whole body, okay? Ceremonially impure. But if you're ill or on a journey, or one of you coming from the offices of nature, know what that is? The offices of nature. Okay? That's going to the bathroom. Okay, if you had to go to the bathroom, can you believe that's even in there? That just blows my mind, okay? Or have been in contact with women. Know what that is? Okay, that's sexual relationships with women. Okay, and find no water, then what? Then take for yourself green sand or earth and rub there with your faces and hands. Allah doth not wish to place you in difficulty, but to make you clean and to complete His favor to you, that ye may be grateful. Okay? So if you don't have water, you can use sand. If you don't have sand, you can use what? Earth. Now to me, folks, if I rub dirt or sand all over me, I'm not what? I'm not that clean. Okay? But, you know, Allah's not really wanting you to what? He's not trying to burden you. You know, if you don't have water, you just use what's here. And the whole purpose is, it has nothing to do with cleansing, does it? It has everything to do with what? A ritual of how you come before Allah. What Allah sees. You've been obedient. You've cleansed yourself. And now you're presentable to Allah. It pertains to all of them, okay? But the ones who practice the religion the most are, guess who? The men, okay? In fact, they don't want the women out in reality, okay? They don't want them out at all. They want women right in that house, okay? That's where they want the women constantly. And you ever go to a mosque and you go in, yeah, you'll see a few women, and especially in the United States, but you won't see very many women. When we get to the role of women and Muslims' outlook of women, it's pretty bleak, okay? And so it's pretty tough, okay? But yes, if women are going to be faithful and they're going to, you know, at home, they would do what? They would have to go through the cleansing process, and they say their five prayers to be faithful Muslims as well. So yes, women do practice this part of the religion, okay? Not that long. You know, the cleansing is, you know, it's just bathing, you know, your arms and your face and your feet. So it's not going to take that long to do that, you know, 2 or 3 minutes there. And the prayers, it's a ritual that each prayer is different in length as far as the ritual through which they go, 5, 10 minutes. But in the course of that, if they want to, when they end the ritual prayer, they can stay bowed down before Allah and continue to pray for a few minutes if they want to. They don't have to, but they can. So it could, you know, it's different times for different ones. Okay?
Do they pray like us? Like we pray for the sick, we pray for soldiers overseas, we pray for, you know, forgive us of our sins. I mean, is that what they pray about?
Yes and no. Okay? The reason I say that is this. The ritual prayers, no. Okay? The ritual prayers are praises to Allah, thankfulness for Muhammad, things of that nature, and it's just a ritual. Okay, it's just, and it's a matter of, you know, standing up and bowing and just going through the process. Okay, but does that mean a Muslim doesn't pray? No, doesn't mean that they don't pray. When things happen in Muslim countries and you see these Muslims run out into the streets, guess what they do? They're praying to Allah, and they're praying for Allah to save them. They're praying for Allah to help them. They're praying for all kinds of stuff. Okay, forgiveness of sins? No. But helping the sick, helping them, yes. They can pray to Allah for those kind of things. Okay, you just don't hear about that very much. Okay, good question, though. Any other questions before we get to this next part? This is interesting. Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get down in just a minute to another section. We'll talk about that in just a second, okay? We sure will. All right. Okay, guys, this is the thing that you may have already heard about. Okay, if you've watched the news or anything, you may have already heard about the adhan. Okay, adhan, the adhan. 15 minutes before every prayer, there is a call to pray. Okay, used to. They would build tall towers on the edges of the city, okay, around the walls of the city. And the Muslim would go up into the tower, and somebody personally, literally, would cry out this call to prayer, Okay? Well, we've advanced beyond that now, haven't we? We have wonderful sound systems, don't we? And can sound systems be pretty loud at times? I'm telling you, okay? They can be extremely loud. And these calls to prayer are loud, all right? 15 minutes before every prayer time, this call goes out, okay? And here's what it says. God is great. God is great. God is great. God is great. Doesn't stop there. I testify there is none worthy of worship except God. I testify there is none worthy of worship except God. I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of God. I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Come to prayer. Come to prayer. Come to success. Come to success. God is great. God is great. There is none worthy of worship except God. Now, none of that is said in English. Okay? When they make their call to prayer, none of that is said in English. It's all said in what? Arabic. But that is the things that are being said. Want you to know that, okay? Now, they won't say it quite as fast as I just said it, okay? Let's say it takes 20, 30 seconds to say that, okay? So let's say in the course of a minute, you can say it two times. How many minutes you got? 15 minutes. So it's going to be said how many times? 30 times. How many times a day? 5 times a day. Okay? That's 150 times a day. This is being said, the adhan. Okay? What if you live next to a mosque? You're going to wake up early and you're going to go to bed late. Okay? Pretty late. Not real late, but pretty late. You're going to hear this, okay? And it's the call to prayer. And in their teachings, and we'll get to it, but you probably need to know this, the best place, the most beneficial place, the most powerful place that you can pray to Allah is where? In the mosque. Okay? In the mosque. Not at home. You can do that. But it's not nearly as efficacious as it is in the mosque. Okay? So guess where everybody wants to go? To the mosque.
Do they give money when they're there?
We'll talk about the giving and different things, okay, in a little bit. All right? Here are the 5 times of prayer. Okay? Now I've given their names. You don't need to know those. Early morning before dawn. Okay? So these guys get up early, don't they? Some of my Christian brethren would have a fit if they became Muslims. Okay? They can't even make it to worship at 10, much less get up before dawn to pray. Okay? That's it. Okay? The second time, noon prayer. Okay? Next time, mid-afternoon, around what? 3, 4 o'clock. Okay. Fourth prayer, sunset. Fifth prayer, 1 hour after sunset or before midnight. Okay. 5 times a day. You've got to do your ritual prayer. Now, how many times a day for a normal Muslim would that impact his workplace? At least 2. Is that right? Which one? Noon and mid-afternoon, right? You hire a Muslim, he tells you, I'm a faithful Muslim. I pray 5 times a day. And I'm going to have to pray while I'm here at work. You know what he has to do? He's got to stop work. And he's got to go somewhere, whether it's a room, whether it's down to the... He may tell you, I'd really rather go to the mosque. Guys, he may be gone how long? An hour each time, right? So you've just lost 2 hours of work with this man, okay? And he looks around and he says, well, I'll just stay here, but I need a room to do this, and I notice that you don't have what here? You don't have any water for me to wash in, okay? Don't have any water to wash in, so I need a little water. So you need to install some plumbing over in that room for me. Okay? and you don't hire him, guess what you've just done? You've just discriminated against a religion, and you will be sued. You hire him, and guess what you have to do? You have to accommodate him. Okay? Unbelievable, isn't it? Bob, what were you going to say?
What do their prayers consist of?
We're going to talk about that here in just a second, okay? We sure will, okay? No, even today, you go to the city of Mecca, and guess what? Oh yeah, it's pretty big. But guess what? They have a humongous mosque there. Okay, how many? There's several there, but there's one biggie that everybody wants to go to. The one with the Kaaba. Okay, they want to go to that one. But there's others in the town. Okay, there's several. So what do they do now? It's kind of like local congregations, right? They just set up local congregations in different parts of town. You know, he hires on and says, hey, my mosque is just 3 miles from here. I can run down there and be back 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever time it takes, you know. And you're the employer, and you've got to make a decision, you know. And here you are, you know, he's an engineer, and you need a great engineer, and you've interviewed 5 people, and he's the best one that's there. Man, you've got some tough decision-making, don't you? Tough decision-making. And, you know, guys, the minute that you yield, the minute that you acquiesce to him, okay, you have done something that I'm going to just label right now phenomenal, okay? We'll come back to it in our study. But you have just done something phenomenal. And you may not even realize it because all you want to do is what? Accommodate, right? Okay, I can give you a room. We'll put a sink in there. That'd be all right. Right? That's all you got to do. You may already have an empty room, right? Or maybe you just tell him what? We'll make certain at that hour, restroom's open. You know, you can go in there, cleanse, and then you can go into this room over here. Doesn't have to be a big room, does it? Okay? So, very, very interesting. Questions or comments? Any more? All right, look at that next point. Okay, number D. I know it's a letter, but I call it number. Remember that each of the 5 daily prayers involves 2 to 4 rakas. You know what that is, don't you? All you smart Arabic people who came in here at the first. All that is a bowing. Okay, a bowing, a raka. That's what they call it, a bowing before. So in that prayer, you're either going to bow 2 times or you're going to bow how many times? Okay, 4 times. Okay. Before the second and any subsequent raka, the worshiper stands up, pronounces a takbir. Uh-oh. What is that? A takbir. Flip back over. Okay. Turn that off. Miss Molly, you'll have to wait, dear. Sorry about that. Folks, a takbir is nothing more than a praise of Allah. Okay? So they go down, they bow twice, and when they stand up, what are they going to do? They're going to praise Allah before they go back into the next, you know, ritual. Alright? Alright. Let's keep going. Keep reading. This is interesting. And that begins the next cycle. At the end of the second and final rakas, a formulaic greeting, okay? Ask God's blessing on Muhammad. At the end of all cycles of the salat, the worshiper sits back and recites the witnessing, followed by invocation of blessings on Muhammad and Abraham. After a final prayer for peace, he turns his head to the right, then to the left, saying, "Peace be upon you." Now, I read all that not so that you understand every little intricate detail of the prayer. You want to do that? Go convert to Muslim. Okay? They'll teach you, right? Everything. Here's the deal, folks. From little bitty kids, guess what they do? They teach them every little point. Okay? They know exactly what to do, what to say, and when. Now, time for prayer. The call goes out, right? All of them gather together. All of them get down before Allah. And guess what it looks like? It looks like perfect syncretization. Okay? Because that's what they were taught all their life. That's how routine this is. This is how mechanical this is. All right? Now, you'll see a few of them, maybe a little bit slower, you know, because it takes them a little bit more time to get up. But for the most part, when they come together and they go through those prayers, they make dead certain that they are in sync with one another. Okay? Now, in some places, the call to prayer goes out at noon. Guess how many gather? Thousands. Thousands. Too many for the mosque, but they're all at the mosque. So where are they going to pray? They're going to pray all around the streets. And guess what cities have to do? They shut down their streets for that period of prayer. That's happening right here in the United States of America now. Okay? Not in very many places, but in several. All right? And we just need to be aware that that could happen. Okay? You build a mosque right downtown, is that a pretty busy place? Yeah. And you've got 2,000 Muslims who work down there, and they want to go where? They want to go to the mosque to say their prayer. So at lunch, here they come. Guess what's going to happen? We're going to shut down downtown for 30 minutes so that we can have the Muslims pray. They'll put up, they'll have the police come, they'll set up barriers, and they'll roadblock those streets for 30 minutes. Because if you don't do this, what? You're discriminating. You are not allowing the free practice of religion in the United States of America. And you say that we have what here? Freedom of religion. Ooh, man. No, we're not. Because you're not doing anything to practice your religion right now. But it's not that space is not religious for you right now. See. Well, see, most of the time the work day is when? Monday through Friday. Okay? Okay? Guys, you're not going to win this battle. There's no way you're going to win this battle unless we all stand up. Okay? I'm talking to everybody. Men, women, and children, we're going to go down to our legislators and we're going to have thousands, hundreds of thousands down there saying, enough is enough. But you want to know why that's going to be hard? What's the third largest religion in the United States of America? By 2020, it's going to be what? The second. Yeah, right. You're going to stop the second largest religion, the fastest growing religion in the United States of America? Really? Scary, isn't it? True. Oh, now, when we say Christianity, we're talking about all denominations, Catholics, anybody who confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, okay, number one. You don't even want to know, okay? You don't even show up on the lists, okay? We're not even hardly on the top 100 anymore in terms of growth, okay? And see, this is the deception, okay, that people don't understand. Guys, this is not just a religion, okay? It's not just a religion. If it were just a religion, then guess what? We'd have to find ways to work with it, wouldn't we? This is also a what? It is a political system. It is a government that wants to be established and take over the United States of America. They want to rule and reign here. They will throw the Constitution away and they will implement Sharia law in the United States of America. The Constitution won't mean squat. Okay, and they are also a military power. Okay? They do not mind using force at all if they need to get what they want. Scary, isn't it? And these are some of the things they'll want. Rodney?
Have you heard anything about them implementing Sharia law in Michigan?
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that when we get to Sharia law. It's more than just the implementing of Sharia law. Okay? But we'll get to it. Dearborn, Michigan. Okay, that's a place that's doing it. There's a place in Tennessee where they've just established a new community there. There are several Islamic communities that have been established in the United States. Okay, and our law officials don't go in there. Okay, that's their own thing. All right, and we get to Sharia law, those things, we're going to talk about it. It gets pretty scary. Okay. No, you don't. You give me about 500 people in an area, and every time the police comes in, he gets killed. Right? Guess what he ain't doing? They ain't coming in there no more because they'll threaten you. You come in here again, you'll die. And they know that. Okay? See, these guys are, you know, we're getting off on a tangent here, okay? We're going to come back to a lot of this stuff, I promise. But, folks, if we really practiced... Okay, if we really practiced capital punishment in the United States of America, you commit murder on Monday, you are beheaded in front of everybody on television Friday, guess what will stop? Murder, rape, the other things. Okay, it'll go down. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Okay, you can go into all these other countries and see where that's the case. Okay, the Muslims have already shown we are willing to do what? We are willing to die and we are willing to kill for our religion. That's well known. Why do you think our legal officials won't say a word about it? In the course of the whole political process during the election of the President of the United States, there was one candidate at one point who said anything negative about the Muslims. Do y'all remember who it was? Mm-mm. Mitt Romney. He was it. Why won't they say anything? Folks, they're not stupid to this. They know that this is a political system, but they're scared to death of it. Okay? Scared to death. All right, let me give you some additional information on the salats, the prayers. Number one, missed salats can be made up privately. Okay? Number two, five prayers come from Muhammad's journey to heaven. Number three, they must be performed facing Mecca. That's changed. When Muhammad first formed his religion, guess where they prayed to? Jerusalem. See, that's one of the questions I want to ask a Muslim, right? Isn't that right? You know, ask him, say, was there a time when you used to pray toward Jerusalem? If he says no, he's a liar. And there's plenty of documentation to show that they did pray to Jerusalem. Okay? So the next question is, if he says yes, what's the next question? Why'd you change that? There's a reason, okay? I promise there's a reason. These salats can be prayed almost anywhere. They prefer a what? A mosque. If you do not have a mosque, then you have a prayer rug. And folks, most of them have their own, don't they? And they'll just tote that thing around, okay? But if you're sitting in your office and they forgot their rug and you're reading the paper, watch out. I'm just kidding. Because a newspaper can be used as the rug. Okay? So they could just purchase a morning paper and be okay to do that. All right? Can be in private, but prefer to pray with other Muslims. In their prayer, they bow at least 17 times before Allah. Folks, you pray five times to Him, right? Isn't that what these prayers are for? You know, that's keeping yourself in mind of Allah, right? Oh, I got to go pray to Allah. So five times a day, I've got that in my mind. During the course of that praying, I bow to Him how many times? 17 times. And there's no telling how many times they say the name Allah in their prayers. Who is first and foremost in their mind? Allah. Who is Allah? He is Avi, Elah, God. He is who? The God. Wow. Folks, that's pretty dedicated, isn't it? Now, say what you want. I wish I had Christians as dedicated to Jesus Christ as these individuals are to Allah. My brethren cry when they got to give up 4 hours to come to Bible classes and worship services. You mean I got to go four times? Are you kidding me? Really? You're kidding me, aren't you? Can you imagine being called to prayer five times a day? 35 times a week. And that does not include their worship service on Friday. Unbelievable, isn't it? That does not include the reading of the Quran. Okay? There's a whole lot more to this religion than what we're just talking about here. These are just the rituals. Okay? And I wish we were as dedicated, committed, absolutely. What? Anybody else? I'm leaving the salats. Okay? This is it.
You said they bow 17 times per prayer.
No.
Oh, no, per day.
Per day. During the course. Some are two, some are four in the five prayers.
Okay. But I was just confused because if the minimum is two times each prayer, I mean, that should only mean like 10. So I was confused where you got the 10 prayers.
2 to 4, remember?
Yeah.
2 to 4 times, depending on which prayer that you're in. Okay? I hadn't gone and memorized all the routines of the prayers. Okay? But by the end of the day, they've done 17 bowings. Because some prayers have two, some have four. By the time you add them all up, guess what? They pray at least seven. They bow at least 17 times before Allah. Okay, so 2 to 4 could involve what? 3. 2 to 4 times, somewhere in there, is what they're going to be praying. All right, here you go. Here's your giving. This is going to be something that causes many Christians to run to Islam. Okay. This is the annual tax paid by Muslims. Okay? Guys, the meaning of that word, zakat, is purification or growth. Purification or growth. One's possessions are purified by setting aside a portion for those in need and for society in general. Like the pruning of plants, this cutting back balances and encourages new what? New growth. Okay, so there's where the growth comes from. There's where the purification. When you set aside that amount, then everything becomes what? Purified. Okay, purifies everything. It's kind of like the first fruits, right? Under Judaism, first fruits of everything had to be given to who? To God, and then the rest could be yours. These are the first fruits. These are the first things that you do. I gave it away. There's the rate. 2.5%. See there? That's why Christians will run to Islam. You mean I only have to give 2.5%? Man, all I've heard for the last 10 years is 10%, 10%, 10%. 2.5%, man. Here I go. Let me be a Muslim, man. It's cheap. Okay? Cheap. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Do you think anybody ever value something on what it's going to cost? Yes, absolutely. Folks, I buy cars all the time on what it costs. You know it? Jesus told us, count the cost, right? 2.5% is all it's going to take out of your money. Not going to be too bad, is it? Not too bad. Folks, they can give in several different places, but the primary place where they will turn in their funds is at the mosques. Okay? At the mosques. They have various religious organizations. They have centers. They have schools. They have other places set up. So they could go and give their money there. Okay, but most of the time, they're going to give at the mosque. Now, here's what's interesting. These funds have a purpose. And I'm about to go through the uses of this money. Now, how many people are Muslims in the world? 1.5 billion. 2.5% of 1.5 billion, that's going to add up, isn't it? Here's what they do with it. Number one, help the sick and the poor. That's good, isn't it? Number two, spread the Islamic faith. I would assume that, wouldn't you? Are those two reasons why we give? Sure. Not to spread Islam, but to spread Christianity, right? Notice the third one. To ransom captives. We got any Muslim captives in the United States of America? What about Guantanamo? I wonder how many times our government officials have been approached with money for their release. See? To ransom captives. Number four, aid travelers. Now notice that last, that especially to the what? To the Hajj. We'll talk about it in just a minute. To free Muslim slaves. Uh-oh. Now we're getting back to a different time, aren't we? Okay? To help debtors. To defend Islam, including jihad. Okay? Big funds. Big funds. Many of our colleges are being funded by who? The Muslims. Okay? Why? Sure. Spread the Islamic faith, right? Sure. We'll give you $10 million if you'll put a section into your program dealing with what? With Islam. Right? Absolutely. And they may even put a little stipulation on there that whoever studies a certain field, they have to what? They have to take some classes in this particular area. Okay? All kinds of stipulations go with money, don't they? Happens all the time, folks. And guess where these funds come from? A lot of it comes from their giving. Okay? Their zakat. Questions, comments? About to leave this one. Yes, they have their main spokesman, okay, their main caliph. They'll say they don't, but they do, okay. And then in each one of the mosques are one of their teachers, okay. And depending on how big the mosque is, where the mosque is located, similar to, I hate to even say this because you'll confuse the two. They're not identical. Catholicism, you know, where you are and who you are, how many people are there, determines your power and stuff. What land you operate out of. Okay, there are about five different people that they listen to when it comes to their teachings. Okay, and one of them, folks, are the leaders of nations. And the very minute a leader pops off a declaration, then guess what? That's almost like law to them. Okay, almost like law. That's why they're so fearful that any of these leaders, like Ahmadinejad, the minute he stands up and he says, drive the Jews into the sea. Muslims take that stuff seriously. See? Because he's a what? He's an authority. He's one of their teachers, okay, that they're supposed to listen to. Gilbert? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Okay.
The 2.5%, now, that's not per family, that's per Muslim, right? Like,
yeah, that...
Every Muslim, so if a...
Home.
If a father has a child that doesn't have a job, but has...
Yeah.
But is a Muslim, he would be paying...
It's each home.
5%.
Yeah, it's each home. Yeah, it's each home, each family unit. Okay, now the child gets up, comes out of the house, then he gives 2.5. But yes, each home of the Muslims, you know, similar to what we do with our houses. Beverly? That's what I'm saying. It's kind of enticing, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not very much. But folks, they make their money in a lot of different ways, don't they? These guys are big business all through the United States of America and the world, aren't they? In fact, you know, we just had some happenings just recently, haven't we? That kind of show you how big they are, okay? And it's scary. They can. This is minimum, you know. This is just minimum that they can give, that they have to give, but it is what they give, okay? All right, let's go to the next one, all right? This can be pronounced Suam or Sawn, S-A-W-N, okay? The Sawn. Guys, this is nothing more than fasting, all right? They require their people to fast. How many of you have fasted recently for your religion? Okay, a couple of folks. Most of us don't, do we? We don't fast. They fast. Okay? Notice what the surah says. This comes from Surah 2. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed to those before you, that ye may learn self-restraint. Fasting for a fixed number of days, Ramadan, is the month in which was sent down the Quran, and as a guide to mankind. So folks, the reason they fast in the month of Ramadan is to commemorate the giving of the Quran. Okay? This was the month that this was the first time that he received his revelation in this particular month. So the giving of the Quran is that which was commemorated. And they do it once a year. Okay? And it's for an entire month. What kind of month do they operate on? Do they operate on our calendar month? No, they have their own calendar, folks. Okay, and it's a lunar calendar. Okay, so it runs by about 28 days or so. All right, every year Ramadan backs up 11 days from our calendar. Okay, so it could be, you know, sometimes it's in August, sometimes it's in October. You're going, I thought Ramadan was in August. No. Ramadan can be any of the months, depending, you know, as the year progresses, it's going to change, okay, and it's going to back up from our calendar because they don't have as many days in their calendar. Does that make sense? Okay. Notice the month, Ramadan, here is what's prescribed, okay? No eating, no drinking, no smoking, no sexual intercourse. Okay. None of that. Now, I got to qualify that. You ready? From sun up till sundown. Okay? From sun up till sundown. That's when the fast has to transpire. Next, Saturday night, Sunday morning, time's about to change. If I were a Muslim during the month of Ramadan, I'd dread that. Wouldn't you? Because guess what that means? Sun goes down an hour later, doesn't it? Okay? Man, makes it tough. Now, you think, well, you know, that's their practice. That you know, it really doesn't affect me at all. Hogwash. Does anybody know when the last Ramadan was? Okay? It was around the month of August. Okay? I can't remember exact time. But I do know this. Football season was going on. Okay, let me ask you, if you go out after school, immediately after school, and you practice football, do you get thirsty? Guess what a Muslim can't do? A Muslim can't drink water. Not during the month of Ramadan, right? So, the Muslims go to the coach. Coach, guess what? My son's a practicing Muslim. It's the month of Ramadan, and he can't drink water during practice. So here's what I want you to do. Change practice. In Dearborn, Michigan, football practice was changed during the month of Ramadan. And guess when parents had to take their children to football practice? From 12 to 4 at night. Okay? 12 to 4 at night. Because they could drink water then. See? You don't think it's going to impact you? It's going to impact you, folks. Okay? It's already impacting people around the country. We just don't feel it because we're kind of removed from it yet. All right? But it impacts people. It's unbelievable.
So they basically, if you don't do it, you're discriminating against
you? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But see, it's all in the freedom of religion, though. You see? Our religion doesn't infringe on people's rights. But their religion does, and they don't care. Because it's all a matter of what? It's all a matter of takeover, folks. It's all a matter of takeover. And we get to Sharia law, we'll talk about it more. It's scary is what it is, okay? Now, can they get up, let's say the sun rises at 6. Can they get up at 5 and eat? Yeah. They can eat, okay? So they can eat a pretty big breakfast. And then once the sun goes down, can they eat? Yeah. Just while the sun's up, folks. You can't do any of this stuff. Okay? Not many. That may be where we have to move. Here's the purpose, guys. Number one, deprivation. In order for you to feel deprived. Now they say, it doesn't take much. Okay? I guarantee you, some of us go without eating 12, 14 hours. Guess what? I just have to preach long on Sunday. And people act like they're dying. You know what? They ate at 8 o'clock before they came at 10. I preached 15 minutes long. It's 12:15, and guess what? Oh, I'm about to die. What's wrong with you? I'm hungry. Man, if you was a Muslim, you'd really die. You know what? 12, 14-hour days without eating. No drinking water, no nothing. It'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? You feel some deprivation, and that's what they want you to feel. Okay? They want you to feel the way the poor and the needy feel. Okay? So that you'll be reminded, so that you'll do what for them? You'll help those people. Okay? Do the poor and the needy love to be helped? And by helping them, can you influence them? Oh, yes. I wonder where some of their converts come from. Notice the second one there, self-restraint. Okay? Folks, all that is self-control. Okay? I practice what? I'm not going to eat. And you don't. So what is that? That's self-restraint, isn't it? It's learning self-control. And so that's the purpose of their fasting. All right? At the evening of the 29th of Ramadan, okay, that ends the fast, and they begin one of their two great festivals, okay, of Islam. And I've given you the name there. The Eid al-Fitr. And this festival lasts for 3 days. It's a celebration of the end of fasting, okay? Huge festival that they put on, one of two. Okay? Yeah, but they prepare for all that. Okay, they know that this is going to... Okay, and not a whole lot because when they can't eat. It's not like they don't eat for a month. They eat when? Early morning. Late night, so, you know, they prepare for all this stuff, all right? And very accommodative. All right, the last one, the Hajj. Folks, this is the pilgrimage to Mecca required of every faithful Muslim at least once in their life. If their health will permit it, and if their finances will permit it, okay? So you may not ever have to do this, okay? But a good, faithful Muslim, somehow, some way, is going to work this Hajj into his calendar. Now remember, part of the giving, right, the zakat was for what? Travelers. Help people get there, okay? Very, very interesting. The date, from the 8th to the 12th, during the 12th month of the Muslim calendar, and I've given you that name of that month there. Let me just read you two or three things real quickly. The requirement is that each Muslim makes the pilgrimage once in his lifetime if able to do so. Muslims don't go into debt or sacrifice material well-being of their families in order to undertake the trip. Some 2 million Muslims make the pilgrimage every year. Folks, can you imagine 2 million Muslims gathering in Mecca during this time period? That's a lot, isn't it? The pilgrims dress in unsewn white robes. They cannot cut their hair or nails, use cosmetics. Boy, women would go crazy, wouldn't they? Or have sexual relationships during the Hajj. The rites of the Hajj, which are of, look at that. What does it say? Abrahamic origin. What are they trying to attach it to? Oh, Abraham. See, we have our roots in who? Abraham. We're just a continuation of those good old religions of the past. You don't need to reject us. You need to accept us. Right? And here's how they do it. All right? Including going around the Kaaba 7 times. Going 7 times between the heels of Safa and Marwa. As did Hagar. That was who? Abraham's wife. During her search for water. The pilgrims later stand together on the wide plains of Arafat, a large expanse of desert outside of Makkah, and join in prayer for God's forgiveness in what is often thought of as a preview of the Day of Judgment. On another day, they go down to Mina, and you can read that for yourselves. They throw some stones when they get there. And then lastly, the festival, guys. Okay, this is the second festival. Remember, the first festival is at the end of Ramadan, right? This is the second. At the end of the Hajj, here's the big festival. Okay, it is the festival of an animal sacrifice, which is performed commemorating the ram that God provided Abraham and sacrificed in place of his who? Of his son. Which son? Bible's been perverted. Your Bible has. It was not Isaac that was sacrificed. Who was it? Is Ishmael, son of Hagar. See, they're descendants of who? The Ishmaelites. Okay? They're descendants of Ishmael. So Ishmael was the true son who was sacrificed. After their Hajj, they sacrificed this ram, commemorating that particular sacrifice. During this time period, they're over there. Remember, Medina's not very far, right? So guess where they go? They go to Medina. What's there? Tomb of the Prophet, and they visit that. Okay, so there's 3 or 4 places that they go to, and it's a real involved process. Okay, and it'd be very interesting to go over and watch it. Unless you're a Muslim, guess where you can't go? You can't go to Mecca. You're forbidden in that city. Okay. Notice the conclusion. Most Muslims are very serious about the practice of their faith. Now, there are some who are more faithful than others, folks. Okay? No doubt about that. And there's some that are just like Christians who not faithful at all. All right? That's good. You're going to find that. But notice point B. The prayer life of a Muslim will have more profound impact on our society right now than anything else. Okay? That's what we would feel right now. Other than jihad, if they choose to, you know. But on anybody, that would be a biggie, okay? Huge one. Questions or comments? Those are the 5 pillars. That's it.
So if you don't pray,
you're not faithful. No. Well, not necessarily. Now, if you don't pray ever, you see, let's say you pray 3 out of 5 times, you just got to wait on the good, right? I know, how would a man keep record of all that, you know? You die and you go to to Allah, and you just pray. Oh, I hope I've done more good than bad. Now, you can just walk into a building, blow yourself up, and go right where? Just go to paradise, can't you? That's one of their teachings, okay? Oh, yeah. During their jihad, that's part of the process. Anybody who dies in battle, yes, you go directly to paradise, okay? You've offered the ultimate sacrifice of your life for Allah. Yeah, but man, have you ever strapped on a bomb and have to think about that? Okay. You know, I just don't think I could do that either. You know?
But at least you know it's a guarantee.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is a guarantee. Okay? And the more you see Islam progress, you may see more people do it. Okay? I'm surprised there's more not doing it, to be honest with you. Questions or comments? Glenn? Very low. Yep, very low. You'd be surprised at this too. Sexual disease is not very high. That's amazing too. Okay, especially when you really find out about, you know, the way they handle women and what women are for and how many women they can have. It's surprising, but it's very low. Zero almost. Yeah. Yeah, they'll take care of that. Okay, real quick. Yes, ma'am. I can't imagine. Rodney? Oh, yes. If you're doing it what? If you're doing it in the name of Allah in punishment of the evil people, right? That's not rape, it's what? It is war. It's an act of war against a what? Against an unbeliever. Okay? So, yeah, they got all kinds of stuff that rationalizations for all this stuff, just like divorce and remarriage. You know, it's supposed to be adultery, right? It's not for them. Okay? They can marry little kids. That's supposed to be pedophilia. Not for them. That's marriage, right? So. Ah, he says, how do they comprehend that Allah has told all of this to them? Okay? Because surely all this can't be found in the Quran. Come back next week. Okay? I told you there's more than one source of authority in the Muslim faith, isn't there? We'll talk about those in a little bit. I'm sorry I keep taking you over, guys, but you're long-winded.